Do you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
I have had terrible approach avoidance with this show today. On the one hand, I've been really excited to do it because I swear it seems like half of my career counseling clients will come up to me and say, hey, are there opportunities in voiceover? It sounds so great. You know, you can just, you know, talk into a microphone, make a living. So that's the upbeat part of it. And then there's the downside part of it. Everybody I have spoken to, everybody, to a person who has tried to make a living doing it, including people who have been on the radio a lot, who are hosts, radio hosts, say, I spent $7,000 and I haven't even made enough money for my voiceover to even pay back the fees, let alone making the middle class living. And I've been putting in all this time into marketing and my demo and all this other stuff, and I'm still not doing it. So I have I'm of two minds. And what I'm interested in is helping you, my dear listeners, get a window into the reality. Not the hype, not undue pessimism, but the reality. And I cannot think of a better person to have to help us do that than Elaine Clark. She is the brand name, if you will, in this field in San Francisco. She runs Voice One. Is Voice One? Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Voice One. And she, she's not just a teacher of wannabes. She's done a lot of it herself. 25 years, everything from Clorox to Amazon, video games from Spawn, great name, to Mario's, I guess that's Super Mario's Time Machine. Done corporate stuff for everything from Kmart to Genentech, anime, voicemail systems, talking toys. And she is the author of the just published, this is probably the book. It's in a third edition now, gorgeous cover, fat, loaded with information. The book's called There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, A Complete Insider's Guide to Earning Income and Building a Career in Voiceovers, third edition. Elaine Clark, welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. All right. So let's start with numbers because everybody's worried about money. Let's start with the reality. How much does someone normally end up paying from the day they sign up for their first voiceover course, say with you at Voice One, until their training is essentially done and they've made a solid demo?
I say a few thousand dollars. So it's going to depend on people and their abilities. We have several different tracks, commercial, narration, character, and business and marketing. So depending on whether they want to do all three of those things, you know, commercials, narration, characters, and even audiobooks, they'll spend more money than someone who just wants to do commercials or someone who just wants to do narration.
So five grand is a reasonable number.
Yeah, I think five grand or even less.
Okay. So now, let's pretend in this room we had 100 people who have signed up for their first voiceover course at Voice One.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately how many of those 100 will end up, say, in 3 years, 4 years, whatever, some reasonable number a year, not too long, not too little, end up making a middle-class living from voiceover?
I'd say probably about 10%.
Okay. By the way, am I correct in addition, these days, in order to make a living, you can't just set up a microphone and your computer with the competition that's huge. You probably have to invest in some sort of more expensive equipment. How much, in addition to the five grand, how much in equipment in order to be reasonably competitive, how much would I need to count on spending?
Well, that's where it's gotten really good because you can get free software like Audacity, and you can get a couple $100 microphone that's pretty decent. You can talk into a closet and you're ready to go.
Okay.
So that's come down tremendously. Well, that used to be several thousand dollars just to get to that stage.
Fabulous. Okay. So you invest, say, $5,000 or $6,000 and you got 10% of the people who took the first course are going to make a middle-class living. Why so low?
Well, I think it has to do with attrition. So it's the people who have tenacity and perseverance who make it. So we're giving people the skills, just like any school, any college, university, and then there are certain ones that get pulled in other directions based on family issues and other stuff. And then the ones we give them everything they can do in order to succeed. But we can't sit there and just say, now, are you marketing? Are you recording stuff? Have you improved in this area?
How much of it is tenacity and how much is chops? I was a professional pianist, and I know millions of people who practice 6 hours a day and don't. And my next guest, David LaTulippe, who is a professional flutist, there are some people who can practice 6 hours a day and they just don't have the chops. They just don't, period. And most of them don't. How important is tenacity versus chops?
I think it's huge. It's about being in the business long enough that people know you, because you're opening up a business and people have to know that you exist, and that takes time to build that that client base. And so there are many people who are extremely talented who are not working, and other people who are not as talented because of their tenacity are working all the time.
Wow. Is there a way? I imagine talent matters to some extent.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I know people who took music lessons and spent years at it and then dropped it. Is there a way, before committing years of time and all that money, is there a way to assess up front, not a guarantee, but whether you're likely to have the talent to do it?
I think that most everyone has the talent. It's about whether or not they want to put the time to make themselves better.
So talent doesn't really matter that much.
Oh, talent does matter, but it's there's certain ones. I have people who come in from a theatrical background and other people who are just walking in off the street. So the ones who are actors have to shave off stuff because they're too theatrical, and ones who are walking in off the street have to add some acting abilities so that we all end up in the middle in this wonderful sweet spot.
Right. So we know it's marketing. We know it's some talent. We know it's training. Right? Mm-hmm. It's basically an acting training course to some extent of what you do.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's assume that I am in your studio for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared. Like most people who go into voiceover, these are not people who have a lot of money. They're really saying, you know, because if they had really big talent, something, they would not choose something where at best it's a 10% chance of making a living at it. So pretend I have very little money. I'm spending most of what I have in savings on this $5,000 to $7,000, whatever it is, $1,000 to create this. And I'm scared to death. And I'm saying, Elaine, I want to succeed. I don't want to be a bag lady. I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to be sleeping in my car again.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to maximize my chances of building my chops and of staying focused and the right kind of marketing so that I can, I don't need to get rich, but I want to make 50, 60 grand a year. I'm not some delusional mm-hmm. guy. What would Elaine Clark tell me?
Well, I would say, you know, follow the information in the book, read that, practice it. And each of our courses are geared to you, you know, following the different big puzzle pieces. Some people are really fast at getting it, and other people take a little bit more time.
I'm going to ask you to be specific here because most of the listeners, you know, I'm here to serve the listeners. What are some of the, if we were chatting, if I'm
sure.
in your office, and certainly you're going to tell me to read your book, and I will mm-hmm. read your book if I'm doing that. The book, by the way, is, I'll let your listeners know, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco. My guest is Elaine Clark, the author of There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, Complete Insider's Guide to Earning Income and Building Career in Voiceovers. So, but if I'm in your office
mm-hmm.
and I'm asking you to tell me what do I need to do specifically, what are some of the most important things I must keep in mind in marketing and in developing my chops, what are the things you really want me to remember?
Well, I want you to remember technique is the most important, that we need to have a foundation, and that you also have to have a subtext, and you need to be spontaneous, and that's why improv is very important, and you need to understand the various styles. So at first, it's like they've never listened to a commercial in their life when they get into the business, and now it's about being aware and developing their ears and then being able to replicate that.
Okay, subtext is a term we always use when I write screenplays. The good screenplay. Script writing is all about not what is being said, but what's underneath being said. Explain how subtext is important in voiceover acting.
Well, it's about conveying a need for relief, a need for confidence, a need for creativity. Whatever that script is about is really giving people one thing. Every product on the market is is solving one particular issue. And that's why I created a system called Making It Mine, using motivation, intentions, need, and emotions to get to the subtext quickly. Because, I mean, I came from an acting background, and I couldn't do voiceovers quickly. I could do it within 2 weeks. I could figure out how to analyze the script and do it, but I couldn't do it right then. And so that's knowing what the script and what you're selling is really about, and that way you just suggest that the person help themselves.
I need you to make that specific for me and for my listeners. So I'd like you, I don't know if it's possible, can you either read some text or that lacks that sufficient subtextual messaging, and then read it again in a way that does it better?
Sure. Okay.
Pick anything from your. You can pick something from your book. Absolutely.
Okay. Good. It just happens to be here.
Certainly. Why not? That's great.
Let's just see. I have. I just happened to turn to page 134. It has a commercial for spectacles, which is a spokesperson spot. So this would be no subtext. So at Spectacles, we do more than correct your vision. We help you select the right frame to add style and elegance to your appearance. We have hundreds of designer frames to choose from. Spectacles even make soft contact lenses in less than an hour. So now I've read that, but it's not telling you anything except for information, just pure information. But instead, I have to figure out what it's saying. It's about style and elegance, so it's implying that the person doesn't have style, doesn't have elegance, and they feel ugly. So what I'm saying is this is to make you feel sexy. So now that would be that if you have a need for sex appeal, at Spectacles, we do more than correct your vision. We help you select the right frame to add style and elegance to your appearance. We have hundreds of designer frames to choose from. Spectacles even make soft contact lenses in less than an hour.
Okay, clearly great, good example. I would like to try to do one myself. I've never taken voiceover. I've never taken a broadcasting course. Take me to another page. I don't want to be having listened to yours. So give me any other one you want me to do, and you're going to give me some honest, no BS feedback.
Okay.
On it.
Fabulous. Why don't you turn to page 102?
Okay.
The Golden Fields Bread.
Okay. I'm going to just read it for a moment before. Okay, it's just 8 seconds worth.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning, start your day with Golden Fields whole wheat bread. Golden Fields, what mornings should taste like.
Okay, so I would say it's just a little too heavy. Yeah, so everything that we're doing is about everything being easy, and the first couple words tell you tomorrow morning imply that today you screwed up. You did not eat the right bread. You might have had a bowl of cereal. Well, tomorrow morning, let me tell you, fix that. Start your day with, then here's our hero that comes in, and then it goes to relief, Golden Fields. And then you're also telling what morning should taste like. You're giving them a little attitude to say, you messed up, do better next time.
Now you do it.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, start your day with Golden Fields whole wheat bread. Golden Fields, what mornings should taste like.
Okay, and this is a great time to introduce my other visitor who's, I wasn't going to say this, but he's my favorite person at KEOW, just simply, because he's smart, he's diligent, he's been a board op on this show, and he pays attention, and he's a great flutist. I heard him play a wonderful symphony a concerto at this whatever that school is, the conservatory. It was just great.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. You forgot handsome and charismatic.
Yeah. Well, we both have good faces for radio. I'm sure. At least we have the hairstyles for radio. That's for sure.
That's true.
But in any case, he is he's certainly a voice here at KELW, and he has done. Over the last 3 years, he has made significant attempts to try to make money as a voiceover person. So you have been listening to Elaine and I chat. What is your question or comment that you would like to make at this point?
Well, I think I would have a hard time encouraging a newcomer to come into the business. I mean, you're in the business of running a school and giving the training. What I'm really gaining from your book especially is that there's some wonderful techniques and tips early on for training and for ongoing training. And what I'm seeing towards the end is to go to the next step for the professional level in terms of self-marketing and branding, as you spoke at the beginning of the show. Tremendously helpful for that, because one cannot do this as a part-time thing, I think.
It's a real job. It's a real career. It's not just talking
work.
To micro. It's a full-time, real serious job if you're going to do this. What he talked about branding. What is in the year 2012, Elaine?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the smart niches or brandings? Or talk a little bit about branding in the year 2012 and beyond.
Well, we have to figure out what what you bring to the party. I was just meeting with someone yesterday to figure out how to position him correctly, and I said, you really are the other guy. You are not the straight person. You are the one who has not used the product. You are the one who has messed up. And we need to brand that and make sure that people know that, because that is a smaller niche than I'm just good at everything. So there are, you know, that's just one approach, using his kind of quirky voice in order to show that that's, he needs to be fixed.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you role play. Let's say David was one of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid you for a consultation. And it's at the end of the, if you had to, based on your intuition, just limited listening to him and chatting before the show, what would be your, trust your intuition, that you've been doing this so long.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of branding advice would you give to David, having listened to him?
Well, I would have him read a few more things.
Have him do it, please.
Okay, just find something in here.
Okay.
We'll make it one thing for now, for interest of time, because it's radio, but pick out one thing that you'd particularly, use your intuition, Elaine, that you're particularly curious to hear how he reads it.
Okay.
While she's looking, I've been going for a variety of things, from character voices to spokespersons to pharmaceutical-type reads to quirky dads to...
By the way, Elaine, before you have him, is there anything you want to ask him before you render a question to you?
Yeah, so it sounds to me like he's trying to do it all, which, and especially in the Bay Area, that's one of the things we like to do, is do commercials and corporate narration and characters for video games and toys. So it's that broadens your range, but some people are not good at all those things. Some people just need to concentrate on one thing and say, that's what I can do well.
Right.
So I would just see what you can do as far as maybe we'll do a commercial, and then maybe I'll have you do a character.
Okay.
After
that's
just
absolutely.
To show the variety.
That's sure. Terrific.
So let's go to like one, what is it? Page 119, and this a Z-top. So this would be a TV commercial.
It's more than a car. It's more than a feeling. It's freedom, power, performance, and confidence. The new Z-Top convertible. Driving will never be the same.
Good. I think the voice quality is beautiful.
Isn't it?
It's really nice. It has a smooth, but it didn't motivate me to take action. So I thought what I heard was a nice voice. And what I was missing in order to get the job, the next step, was a thing that says why.
Do it. Why don't you, Elaine, why don't you read it, please?
Okay. So, it's more than a car. It's more than a feeling. It's freedom, power, performance, and confidence. The new Z-Top convertible. Driving will never be the same.
Okay, very good. Now, so you've now heard him read a commercial. Now do a character thing, and then I'm going to ask you to give him branding consultation. Pick out something for him to read in the character.
Okay, in the character. Yeah.
Do I take care of you, David?
How
you
about that?
Thanks.
Let's see. Let's do a... that's too much. Okay. Here we go. Let's do this one. This Mordak on page 223. This will be a little louder, so.
Okay.
Men, stand ready. We will not let them defeat us. We must rally together and do everything in our power to slay our enemies. Hold strong, men! Defend the castle! Keep fighting. Don't give up. They defeated us. Next time, they'll not be so lucky. Stay behind and take cover. Archers, man your posts. We'll not leave until this castle is in ruins.
Yeah, and what it sounds to me is that you love characters more. Yeah.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's
characters
fun
are fun.
Go a little crazier.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you get to do this sort of stuff in a regular job? This is why we love it.
It's fun. Yeah,
it is a very, very fun job. So I would just say that that would be certainly in the running for a job. What you have to do is maybe create even more of an environment, so I can see each of these individual lines, more that you're inside, more that you're outside. And you were doing some. I like that you were using the microphone well. So there are just ways to make it even better.
Right. Well, of course, as a cold read, this would be very different from something that I would be studying at home or even studying for 5 or 10 minutes before committing to tape.
Yeah, but I think for just reading it off the cuff, that was really good.
Okay, so now I want you to use your intuition, Elaine Clark. By the way, let's let our listeners know. You're listening to Work with Marty Nemcutt. My guest is Elaine Clark. She is a preeminent expert in training voiceover people and done a ton of it herself. And the brand new edition, third edition of her classic book, There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, has just come out. So now, I want you to use all that 25 years or a million whatever years of training you've done. You look too young to have a million years of anything.
Thank you. I like you too.
Yeah. What would your intuitions tell you would be, like if he were calling into a radio show, I have to use my intuitions about career advice based on very little information. So you've got a little bit of information and sense about David mm-hmm. LaTulipe. What would be the counsel regarding branding, niching, et cetera, that you would render if you were calling into your radio show about this?
Well, first of all, I would say that he should go to voicebank.net and listen to tons of demos and see what people are doing that's a little bit better than what you're doing. So it's not about how good you are, it's how much better the other people are. So there are some tricks and some things that they're doing with their voice and you can steal a little bit or borrow it and then just have it just punch out just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. I would like now to give listeners a chance. I'm going to take one or two calls if you're inclined. If you, my dear listeners, you or someone you love has been toying with the idea of a voiceover career, or you've tried it and you've been a major success and you want to tell us your success story, or you're one of those people who has spent a fortune and still looking for what the heck you're going to do to make a living, I invite you to call with your question or comment for Elaine Clark. The phone number here at Work with Marty Nemcutt, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. David, do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I do have a question for Elaine. I've been very happy with the agency I've been with these past 3 years. Work has been getting steadier and steadier. I'm curious what the hit rate is for other actors that are submitting out of their home studios or even going into the recording areas. For instance, I'm just looking at my MP3 files on mm-hmm. my iTunes as I convert them in before I send them out. Every month it's been ramping up, and it's like I was looking at November, December, I sent in about 80 auditions. January is already up to close to 80 just the month of January, and we're well on course for doing that for February. Now, out of those, I would say maybe 2 or 3 would hit out of a month. Is that a good hit rate, you think? Or do you think I should be focusing more on quality rather than quantity?
Quality, definitely. Sure. It makes a difference. And it's about building up your client base. Right now, you are out there telling a bunch of people that you exist, and they don't know your track record yet. So as soon as they know your track record and you are really fun and easy to work with and finish it on time, then you're going to get called back and then they're going to tell their friends, and that's how your business is going to grow.
Now, I know David very well, actually, and David is the easiest guy to work with. He's so reliable. He's so responsible. You see him preparing. He came for a 5-minute interview. He totally was prepared. How does one convey to potential employers that he's not just a voice, but he's a pleasure to work with?
Well, you need to... The thing with the internet now, you can go and do research on everything that you audition for so you know more about that company. So you take another extra 5 minutes to say, oh, they use really bright colors, and this is it, and this, and they use kind of an awkward, kind of quirky type font. So therefore, they want something kind of bright and quirky in that read that I would have presented it as a decent straight read.
I didn't make that clear. What I'm trying to say is, there could be 5 people who are, let's say there's, you know, I know on Voice 123, there are 50 or 100 people who apply for every $200 job. Mm-hmm. So in addition to having the voice, one of the differentiators could be that David is really easy to work with and totally reliable. How can he convey that to a potential employer so that they will say, you know what, I could use any of these 3 voices, but I'm going to use David because he's easy?
Well, what I was getting to is that he, by just him knowing the business and knowing their business, then they appreciate that. So then they say, I understand your business, and I'm out there to help you with your business, rather than here I'm a voice, please hire me because I need some money.
All right. That's one thing I've really gained already just reading Elaine's book, is that to move forward in the business is being business-like and following up, which I've been mm-hmm. negligent about. It has been more than what Marty was saying. You know, out of the 8 people they could choose, it's not necessarily random once you do start a track record moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the question of getting that track record and communicating.
Right. And then letting your agent know that you're really fine, and then getting feedback from other people who've said stuff so that it makes it really simple.
The repeat customer issue is something that I'm just learning about.
You know, yes.
One would think that these are all just one-offs, but these companies do rehire mm-hmm. a certain voice.
You know, it's catch-22. The people who tend to go into the creative and artistic fields hate marketing. They don't like business. They like creating. They like acting. They like painting. They like screenwriting. They like comedy. They like magic. They hate the idea of building relationships to maximize selling potential. In your experience, you said that most of the ones who drop out, Elaine, mm-hmm. are those who don't stay focused on the marketing. Are there any tools that any ways in which you try to have been successful in taking somebody who has not been a natural marketer and turning them into somebody who will market well enough?
You know, we work with how to get their website up and make it presentable, the materials, how to follow up with different people. The thing is, everything is changing. So what we would say 1 year will be different the next year, because before it was like send an email. Now if you send an email out to somebody, it's going to get ignored because it's going to be buried. So now send a postcard. But one postcard isn't going to be enough. I mean, this is what all these other businesses have found out, that
it's
when they said, let's get rid of catalogs, let's just have it all online, then people forgot that they existed because they didn't go online. So then they had to bring back the catalog. So we're trying to get that same mix of stuff in voiceovers as well.
Well, we've got quite a mix of callers on the line. All our lines are lighted up. Clearly voiceover is something, as I knew it would be, is something that is just so intuitively appealing. So welcome to Work with Marty Nemco with Elaine Clark, author of There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, a book on voiceovers. What is your question or comment for Elaine?
Hi, is it me?
It is.
Okay. I'm actually very interested in this, and I've done voiceovers, but just in the capacity of radio and advertising, mainly for public radio. And I have been told that I could pursue this, and I'm very interested. And additionally, I also sing. So I was wondering if there might be a need for people that can sing in addition to being able to read.
Yeah, I think jingles are not as big as they used to be, so that's a harder area to get into, and I don't even offer those classes at Voice One because I just feel like that's when I'm really kind of selling someone the goods. But I do teach people have singing classes for character stuff, because characters sing a lot.
Okay.
So that's where you would use your singing skills.
Okay, I want to thank you for the call. We have got so many lines lit up. I want to get quick hits from a lot of people so we can get a lot of people help. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco and Elaine Clark. What's your question?
Hi, yes. I have one question about the 10% and minorities, where they fit in as a black woman. And also, I can do a male voice really good. I almost got a job with Ratatouille, but I didn't have any of the marketing. And so I wondered if a woman could speak as a man. Is that a plus or minus? Or?
Well, she had two questions, Elaine. The minority question and then the woman as a man question.
I think that the minorities are always needed. And so that's where you can also use that as your niche to really focus on that and sell that to your best advantage. And as far as speaking like a man, variety is always good. So I would show that. It's going to be hard to convince people to put you into male auditions every time, but it's possible if you just show that you're the best at it.
Although for boys, I mean, think of Bart Simpson.
Oh, yeah. For boys, that's a whole different thing because they always get women to play 10-year-olds and younger.
Anyway, I thank you very much for the call. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. What's your question for Elaine Clark or comment?
Hi, I've been an actress for 20 years, and I'm also a radio person, but I'm not a youngster. I'm thinking of getting into the voice acting business, but I'm not 20 years old, let's put it that way. Would you counsel somebody, I mean, older, to put in 5 years? I feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to be collecting Social Security before I get a check from doing voice work.
Well, it sounds like you already have some contacts, so getting into it, you can just take advantage of some of the contacts that you've already made. So we have people from all ages getting in. I think most people are middle-aged who are starting this.
So. Okay, great.
Thank you for the call. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. Elaine Clark, what's your question or comment?
Hi, this is John from Oakland, and not to throw a wet blanket on this, but this seems to be like it's going to be a field that's going to be extremely hard to get into. It's a down economy. You've got all sorts of out-of-work actors. What I want to do is do what Len Clark is doing, which is sell the dream to people for $5,000. That's the course that I want to take. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. You know, that is one of the, off the air before when I was talking with Debbie Kennedy, my board operator. We in every one of these creative fields, by far, the ones who make the money are the trainers of the wannabes, whether it be acting or screenwriting or comedy or any of those things. It's always, you know, the trainers. So is he, especially in this era, there's international competition these days. I just had the cover of my book designed, and I went to 99designs.com, and I offered $175. That's what they recommend. I got 193 people on spec, right, creating gorgeous covers for me. 192 made zero. One, a guy in the Philippines, made $175. In this era of international competition, the places like the online things like Voice 123, this man was obviously frustrated that he says there's a million unemployed actors down in the economy. What do you say to him?
Well, I think that what's we have it at Voice One, and what I offer is about more than, I mean, it is about learning how to get into the business and doing voiceover. It's also about a major communication skill, and we're in the decade of communication with video blogs, online stuff. This is an important area for anyone to get into, and if you work for a company, then you're able to catapult that into another business as well.
Last question, and I want to, before I give you kind of a softball last question, which is, agents.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know anything about the voiceover world, but I do know about the book writing world. And I've had some of the world's most famous agents, frankly, as my literary agent. And in the end, unless I'm a superstar, they pretty much ignore you. You pretty much have to get a lot of your own business. In the voiceover field, how important is it to have an agent, and what kind of agent, and how do you recruit an agent if it is important?
I think having a talent agent and multiple agents is very important. So you don't have to have it just in one city. You can have it all around the world. Mm. As many as you're able to handle. And they are going to get you in contact with quality work, and they're also going to negotiate a higher rate for you. So it makes your job just a little bit easier, but it does not mean that you have to stop marketing. It means that that's just another avenue for work to come in.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Actually, I want to give David take a moment. I know you don't have anything prepared that you wanted to ask, but what is one more thing you either want to say or ask Elaine about any aspect of voice acting?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind, and your book emphasizes too, that this is an ongoing training situation where there's one thing, I kind of compare it to playing in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. There's the glamour of the performance, of the tuxedo-clad musicians on stage doing that final performance.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of work that leads up to that, whether it's the years and years of training in the practice room or the hours and hours of practice and rehearsal that goes into that performance. People think, oh, it's just wonderful speaking into a microphone and getting paid and hearing yourself on the radio. Well, that's a one in a thousand, practically, hit rate, at least at this stage of my career, with two agents. And I'm working on improving that hit rate. So I think this is really going to help me a lot.
Yeah, with Harvard, Harvard takes 8 out of every 100 who apply, and making it in voiceover is much more difficult still.
One other thing I need to stress to people that may be thinking about this, I think, is that you can't have a day job, I think, and do this. Is it a radio? If you have a booking at tomorrow at 10, the booking is tomorrow at 10. You can't have a board meeting and just slip away from
it. Great point. Before I get to your last question, you know, Debbie Kennedy and I were talking before, and she printed out a rate sheet, typical what people get. People think you get thousands of dollars for commercials. Typically for local spot, if you did a spot, even at KGO, a major commercial, you're going to get $200, $100, $300. I was asked to do a voiceover, and I asked for $300, and they said, no, we'll pay is $150 or $200. So, you know, don't think this is a path to riches. And I was just speaking with someone who gets up every day. So I'm just emphasizing what David said, who gets up every day at 5 in the morning so that she can at 6 in the morning be on Voice 123 to see what the jobs that are getting posted, because the East Coast is 9 o'clock. And she does make $50,000 a year, but she's talented and is very, very focused. It's a job. It can be a rewarding job, but it's something you have to be really somewhat talented and very committed to marketing. But I now, of course, want to give you the last word. Is there something you've either said already, Elaine Clark, or something you haven't that you want to kind of use as the punctuation mark for this interview, something that you really want everybody to remember?
Well, I think one of the things is I was turned down by talent agents 3 times before I got an agent. And I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm determined to do this. And I kept working at it. And the people who don't succeed are the ones who quit. And so that is something that people have to decide whether they want to devote a certain amount of time and do that and create it as a business. And there are a lot of dabblers out there. So I think it's a wonderful business. I really enjoy it.
I just wish that it wasn't so hard. Everything now is hard. You have to be driven and compete and be talented and marketing. Can't it be easier somehow? Maybe that's just fantasy land. The world has changed. It's
hard. In the 90s, it was you could cough and get a job, so that was really pretty nice. And it's not like that right now. But
alas,
maybe it'll get that way again.
Well, David LaTulipe, I certainly wish you the best of luck, of course, in getting some more voiceover work, and certainly look forward to hearing you more on KALW.
Well, time's sure fun when you're having flies.
Oh, by the way, you are a professional flutist, and what's your next? I have to give you the opportunity to. What are you doing next, flute-wise?
Oh, gosh, we've got a chamber music performance coming up on the 26th of February with Woodwind Octets. We're calling it 8 is Not Enough.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we find out information about that?
You can go to Bay Area Rainbow Symphony's website, bars-sf.org.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, David LaTulipe, for joining me.
Thank you, Martin.
And especially thank you, Elaine Clark, for joining me. She is not only the author of the classic book, if you're going to read a book, I have, you know, in preparation for this, once I decided I was going to do voiceover, I looked at all the books. This is the book. It's the one you should read. It's There's Money Where Your Mouth Is, A Complete Insider's Guide to Earning Income and Building a Career in Voiceovers. And certainly, she does run a very reputable school. She's been doing it for a quarter century now. It is Voice One. I think all you need to do is go to voiceone.com and you can get more information. Thanks again, Elaine Clark, for being my guest on Work With
Maria. Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Good. All right. And now, my dear listeners, we turn to you. Not necessarily about voiceovers, but if you have any kind of work-related problem, what I do on the show, my raison d'être, my métier, if you will, using continuing with the French metaphors, is what I call workovers, 3-minute career makeovers. If you are stuck in any aspect of your career or non-career, I can usually give you at least a baby step forward or even a giant step. Unemployed, self-employed, struggling, successful, want to take it to the next level, overwhelmed with your success, don't know what you want to be when you grow up, even if you're already grown up, I do invite you to call. The phone number, and this is a great time to call while the lines are available. The phone number here at Work with Marty Nemko, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And before I go to the phones, I have never done this in my 24 years on the show. I feel that it's critical that, especially because my show's been on so long, that it stays fresh. And one of the things that I want to do is I want to invite one or more listeners to this show to be my guest on this show. Kind of a wild card. Instead of doing the usual thing, I pick the expert in this or that and come in. I want somebody who wants to tell their work story. And whether it be whether you've been employed or self-employed, nonprofit, government, small company, large company, if you think there are interesting lessons to be learned from your story about your travails. You could have had 23 careers. You could have had one. All I care about is honesty. If you can tell an honest story about what really went on internally and externally, I'd like you to email me. And we'll chat on the phone, and perhaps we'll have you come on the show. My email address is, it's mnemko, that's mnemko, at comcast.net. Okay. And the phone number again, if you'd like right now a 3-minute career makeover or workover, I will try to help you with your career problem, whether you're at the bottom, whether you're sleeping in your car and curled up with a bottle of vodka, or you are a CEO, I usually can help. The phone number again, 415-841-4134. Let's go to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. What's on your mind? Hello, it's you. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how can I help?
Well, I am 59. I'm trying to get a job in the ad biz. I've been in the ad biz my whole life, and going for a job interview at my age is a challenge, and I'm not certain how to approach it. I've been I'm at the top of my game regarding skills, and I'm just I I think I'm a perfect candidate for a job.
All right. Here are my thoughts about that. It's a very common problem. That ad industry, the agencies themselves, is definitely a young person's game. But I would, if I were you, there are two takeaways I want you to take away from this phone call. Number one, I want you to try to focus more in-house. And in product, I don't want you to go high-tech. Because high-tech, again, that's a very youthful game. You're not going to get a job at Zynga. That ain't going to happen. But you might get a job at a traditional mainline industry, whether it be Safeway or a bank. Go try to go in-house. They may be somebody, you'll be somebody in-house working perhaps with an agency, but more important, I want you to lead with your age. Everybody is so busy hiding it that what happens is even if you manage to take out the last 50, only leave the last 5 years of your work experience in your resume, eventually they'll see you're 59 and they'll feel deceived. I want your cover letters, and not necessarily in responding to an advertised job. I want you to contact companies that you'd like to work for, perhaps in these mature industries, and I want you to start the letter by saying, I am 59 years old, and you may want to therefore eliminate me because I understand that the advertising game is a young person's game, but I bring the following things to the table because of my age, and so I'm hoping you might want to meet with me. I think if you preempt the objection rather than trying to hide it where eventually it'll come out anyway and focus on in-house rather than agencies, that maximizes your chances. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It is your turn on the air. How can I help?
Psychic reader, and I just can't get started. I've been giving free readings for 20 years.
I'm going to be tough on you. I think psychic readings is bogus, and I'm not going to be giving you any encouragement to pursue something that really just takes advantage of people, so I will thank you for the call. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. No, I'll need another minute. While I'm waiting we're taking another moment to get the call. I guess she is ready. Okay, wonderful. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. How can I help? Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. How can I help? You're on speakerphone. Why don't you turn the speakerphone off and turn your radio down and get speaking right into the microphone.
I'm turning the radio off, but can you hear me clearly?
I hear you fine.
Oh, great. Okay, so I have a weird situation where I'm working for somebody who is suspicious of me because I'm doing such an excellent job.
Tell me more.
Okay. I'm an executive assistant, and this person has had prior to me been pretty much incompetent and, in any case, unable to deliver. I have far exceeded her expectations.
Why would she be suspicious of that?
She's number one because nobody wants to be a member of a club who wants them as a member kind of thing. You know that joke, that Woody Allen joke and Groucho Marx joke?
But how does that apply to this? Tell me in plain English, be specific. Why would she be suspicious of your succeeding unless she's, you know, there are a lot of people who hire inferiors because they're so insecure. Is that what you're talking about?
I think that might have something to do with it. And also, sort of a personality that's not happy unless she's miserable.
Okay. So there's two choices. Number one, you either decide this is not fixable, it's a characterological problem, so you look for another job. But if assuming for the moment you're not ready to quit and you're going to want to work with her,
I like her.
I got it. What I want you to do is establish more trust. Because clearly if she is being, it sounds like she's being threatened by your being that efficient. Is that correct? Or is she figuring that you must be cutting corners if you're getting that much done? What do you think is really going on in her mind, really?
I really think it's because people before me set a bad precedent, and she thinks that that's all she deserves because she keeps saying to me in various ways, if you're so fabulous, why are you working for me?
So
how come you're working for me? And I don't really know how to respond to that question.
Okay, well, here's how I would suggest you respond, and you can tell me if this feels right or wrong. I would say, I'm working for you for two reasons. Number one, I like the work. I actually like you. And, you know, can I lie to you and tell you that this is the greatest job in the world? No, but this is not the greatest job market in the world. And so I am grateful to have the opportunity to do what I do well. I'm a good executive assistant. I like you, And is that not enough? Please, dear, whatever the woman's first name is, please tell me if am I missing something. I want to work with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to succeed with you. I want to be your right arm person. What would you think she would say if you said that to her?
She might go for it. I mean, I think you're right that I have to build trust.
Yep.
That she may not feel threatened by me directly, but she's somewhat taken aback by the fact that I'm so competent. On the one hand, that's really flattering. On the other hand, I almost feel like maybe I should goof up more to make her feel comfortable.
Of course not. I think you want to build trust. And maybe ask for a raise. Maybe she'll feel that it was a fairer deal if you ask for a raise. I am a huge believer that food is the lubricant of relationship. You can quote me on that.
Uh-huh.
You know, take her out to lunch or coffee or invite her over to dinner, or even if it's just coffee in the break room.
That's part of the problem, Marty. While doing all my other things, I actually cooked a couple of really fabulous meals for her.
So, okay. So this sounds like a one-person business or something, right?
No, she has a large staff and she has her own business. And but, you know, she just asked me offhandedly if I could help her out with a dinner and did. And it was, you know, I'm a trained cook as well. I've studied cooking and have gone to cooking schools in various countries that I've traveled in. So, I bring a lot to the table, and I'm happy about that, and I'm happy to be in a situation where it's appreciated. I just don't want the downside of feeling like she wonders why I'm working for her.
Well, you know, there's one more little thought about this. You know what? Okay. You cannot control people's psyche. Let her wonder. She's not firing you. She's grateful to have you. So if after another little effort to develop trust, she's still saying, you know, why is she working for me? You know what? Let her worry. Just go do your job. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for the call. Okay, I'll give out the phone number one more time. If you do have a problem that you are facing in your work life, whether you're 17 or 77, I usually can help. The price is certainly right, zero, zippo, nada. The phone number here for a workover, a three-minute career makeover on Work with Marty Nemco is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And while I'm waiting for the calls to kind of get processed, if you will, I have been noticing a trend that in Silicon Valley, because everybody's being asked to work harder, more, do more all the time, that employers are trying to figure out new ways to keep people motivated. And there was an earlier iteration, version 1.0 of this was the Frisbee thing and all that crap. But that's kind of dead. That's long been gone. You know, getting a massage, bringing somebody to come and do office massages once a week for the staff. Nah, that's been there, done that. It's not good. But what they're doing is, and I encourage you, if you are a manager in your workplace, depends. Some people, in some workplaces, everything is collaborative and teamwork and all collective, but some people are very motivated by competition. Fun competition. Give points for various things. Have contests. Have little badges for you, you know, little awards. You know, people like it. Look, the whole military is based on wearing these things they call fruit salad on their chest. You know, have little rewards, fun things. Don't make it too high stakes or it gets vicious. But make it fun. So just another thought. Now let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. How can I help?
Hi, my name is Lorette.
Thanks. Hi, Lorette.
For taking the phone call.
Sure.
I'm following up on what you said to another caller regarding full disclosure.
I talked about preempting an objection about age by disclosing it up front. What's going to happen is that the wrong employers will turn you down, but the relatively small minority of employers who would consider an older person will be grateful that you are upfront about it.
So my question kind of parallels full disclosure in the sense that I have a nephew. He unfortunately was arrested.
Right.
As a teen. He's 20-something right now.
Yep.
And we learned about a program, pay training, access to a college for a year.
Yep.
So now, in terms of applying for the program and me kind of motivating him long distance to take those next steps,
yep.
I'm wondering when or how he needs to introduce that part of his
Well, for training programs, it may not be necessary. First of all, first basic thing is sometimes, especially if he was a youthful offender, has he made efforts to get that expunged?
His mother said she's tried, but I think it's a money problem, so it hasn't occurred as yet.
Okay. Well, I don't know if he needs to disclose that for school. Now, if you're, you know, if he's applying for employment, and routinely, yes, they're doing background checks these days like crazy, random drug testing but before hiring, and but also looking for criminal records and bankruptcies and the like. I'm a huge believer in preemption. It's one of the basic rules of public relations. You know, you get the bad news out up front because it's like the Watergate thing. The Watergate thing was terrible, but the cover-up was worse. You want to not give them something to dig up. So you lead with it and... Even like, I love the example of this. Let's say Marty Nemko was an axe murderer. I'm thinking the worst case. I'm an axe murderer. And I did 15 to life in San Quentin. And I'm finally out. I'm 55 years old. I would lead, every single cover letter that I would write would lead with that. I wouldn't try to hide it. So I think you lead with it. And that makes you more intriguing. It also makes you clear that you're honest. You lead with that. And then, of course, you're not just going to talk about the negatives. You then go to talk about all the positives. Make sense?
So it's okay to disclose?
Absolutely. Not only okay, it actually in this job market gives you an edge because I believe that the one ingredient that has been leached out of American society in our desperation to make this economy go is integrity and honesty. And if an employer sees that finally, instead of a BS resume and a BS cover letter filled with language like, I believe I'm uniquely qualified and I'm a self-starter who also enjoys team playing and delight in exceeding customer expectations, that's making an employer puke. And if instead they say, you may be tempted to throw my resume out because I committed a felony, you're going to have that missing ingredient added, the integrity piece, which I think is absolutely crucial.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks.
You're welcome. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. How can I help?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Tara, and I'm a first grade teacher in a public school system.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very content with my career choice. I'm totally committed to this. I'm happy to do it for the rest of my life.
Wonderful.
But I feel I'm at this stalemate juncture. I work in a public Montessori school,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very committed to that pedagogy. However, the public school system means there's so many philosophical compromises, and I'm working in this system because I need the salary and the benefits, which I wouldn't be able to get in a private school. So my dilemma is I'm making a lot of intellectual and philosophical compromises on a daily basis.
You know what I would encourage you to do? You know, we tend to be ideologues. We tend to believe that the method is the method. And you know what? Frankly, I have a PhD in the evaluation of education, and I can tell you that while Montessori has great strengths, one size does not fit all. And that degree of autonomy and independent self-development that goes on in Montessori is great for some kids at some time, and it may not be great for others. So I would invite you to consider that a wonderful tool to use in your toolkit, but as a way to, you say you'd like to teach for the rest of your life, to add some other tools to your toolkit so you're not so rigidly adherent to one model. I know that Elaine Clark, in running her voice school, does not have a one-size-fits-all approach, and I encourage you to think more broadly. I thank you for the call. I will give out the phone number one more time. If you want sometimes it's tough love, sometimes it's very supportive love, but you'll get some straight-shooting answers about your career or self-employment. I invite you to call the phone number here at Work with Marty Nemko for what I call a three-minute career makeover or a workover, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. While I'm waiting for the calls to come in, I have some tips that I've been gathering over the weeks, and I'd like to share a couple of with you. Now, sometimes this is a little manipulative, a little Machiavellian, but it is ultimately may serve the largest good. Very often, you have somebody who's working for you, and they've got an idea that they're really excited about. They love the idea, but you know it's not a good idea. But if you turn them down, that's going to kill the relationship between you and them, because that's their hot-button idea. One of the things that is done all the time, it's frankly done in government all the time, is they form a committee to study the problem. And so even if it's a small business, say, you know, let's say it's Mary, and Mary's got this idea that she's really excited about, and you think it's really deeply, fatally flawed. Ask her to join one or two other people to study it and report it back at the next meeting or something like that. That can be a way of you avoiding, like, ruining your relationship with that person, because if it comes from somebody else and not just you, you're more likely to survive. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. How can I help?
Hi. So my name is Kevin. Basically, I just moved to Silicon Valley from North Carolina to start a new job. And
a little bit different cost of living, huh?
Yeah, very different cost of living. And I, so just a little background on my path that I've taken. So I finished my PhD in engineering in Virginia.
What kind of engineering?
It's in Old Dominion University in Virginia, which is in Norfolk.
But what kind of engineering?
Oh, electrical engineering.
Okay.
So basically, and specific part of electrical engineering, I worked in optics. And what happened is, so I couldn't find a job for about 7 or 8 months out in industry where I wanted to go. So I sort of took a step back and I compromised. And I said, okay, I'll go for a postdoctoral position in North Carolina. And then I did that. You know, obviously the pay wasn't great and the work conditions in terms
of... What was your postdoc in? What did you actually do?
I actually worked in a related field to what I'm working now. It's in optical engineering.
Specifically, now are we talking about lasers, optics? Are we talking about what kind of...
I actually use lasers with biomedical applications.
Exactly, right. So for laser-related surgery, like virtual scalpel kind of stuff?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then I finally got a great position here. I'm really happy with the position and everything.
Yeah, this is the epicenter here for medical devices like that, and that is the future. The remote, and especially, you know, do you know much about use of remote? The combination of use of remote surgery along with laser technology is where the cutting edge. Because if somebody, for example, is living in rural North Carolina, they're not necessarily going to get a great surgeon. Have you worked in that area? Is that an area of interest of yours?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
So basically what happened is I got a great position, and during the interview, I kind of course, before I came to the interview, I tried to look at the cost of living and general pricing of an apartment, et cetera, in this region. And I feel I undervalued myself during the interview when I was asked what my salary expectation was. And they very easily accepted what my request was in terms of salary. And now that I have the job, I actually feel, it seems like I actually undervalued myself.
Okay, here's the best solution for that at this point. You know, I'm assuming you've started already?
Yes, I already started.
Okay.
And it's only been about a month.
Okay, what I would do is, the best way to do this would be to request a salary review in 3 to 6 months. So what you do is, you say you were very excited about the company and the project you were working on, and that you didn't want money to stand in the way, and you knew that in this economy, that sometimes if you ask too much, the company simply withdraws the offer. And you were excited enough about the project that you wanted to take the position. That said, now that you want to get what is fair market value, and you need to do some research, by the way. You know, going to payscale.com or going to your industry, the electrical, the IEE, your professional association, does salary surveys. Gather some good salary data in preparation for your 3 or 6 month evaluation, and then in that evaluation, if indeed you've done a good job, and then you can show them comparable salaries, it would be then very appropriate to say, now I'd like to get bumped up to fair market value. Does that make sense?
Okay, that does make sense.
Okay. By the way, in the future, you want to... I've used the word preempt twice in this show today, but I want to use it again. In job interviews, I'm not just talking to my caller here, to Kevin. I'm talking to all of you. Preempt the problem, because once they ask you how much do you want to make, you're in a hard position. You give too low a number, and you've lost thousands of dollars. You give too high a number, they may throw you away. So what you want to say is, it really depends on the nature of the position. What is the amount you've budgeted for the position, or what is the range? Get them to give the answer first. We're out of time. I'm just looking up at the clock. Kevin, I wish you the best of luck. You sound like a winner. Go and create some great, cool medical device. All right, and that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. I want to thank my board operator, Debbie Kennedy, and, of course, all of you for listening, calling in. Also, David LaTulipe again, flutist nonpareil, and Elaine Clark, voiceover teacher nonpareil. And, of course, thanks very much, all of you, for listening and calling in. Next Sunday at 11, I will do 3-Minute Career Makeovers on Calls. And we are all coaches, whether it's at work or with friends or family, we all coach. Alas, too often we fail to help the other person as much as we like. My wife, Dr. Barbara Nemco, and I are going to discuss the art of coaching. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.
More than 500 of Marty Nemko's published articles and chapters from his book, Cool Careers for Dummies, are free on his website. From there, you also can email him if you'd like coaching on your career or want to comment on this program. His site, martynemko.com, that's martynemko.com. And you can join Marty again next Sunday morning at 11 for Work with Marty Nemko here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco.